Somebody, some years ago, I believe it was somebody in Oklahoma, said, believe only half of what you see and none of what you hear. I'm not quite that bad, but I don't believe everything I've heard. I don't think we hardly dare to believe everything that we hear. But I do listen. And I think I heard Curtis in his prayer saying something about still being alive. And that's just being about twins as far as age is concerned. I guess he's talking for me as well as for him. I listen to my... No, you don't listen to a computer, do you? You read things on the computer. Most of it doesn't, you don't listen to it. But in the morning, I get up and take my sugar count, glucose count, and check to see if we got any email, most especially from our children, but we get lots of them from other people who have their various problems in various parts of the world, and some of them are give us a wonderful testimony of good things that happen as well. But you can, on the internet, you can read things, and you can't believe all that you read, but sometimes you can be, get an education by reading things. So several weeks ago, I was reading an article. I thought, oh, I'd like to have that. So I decided to print it. And I did print it, and I brought it to church with me. But it didn't, wasn't an occasion to use it at church. So I laid it up in the windshield, and it stayed there until, I think until Laura May and MG come home. MG saw how dirty the car was, he cleaned it out, and I don't have the article anymore. But it pertained to, I believe the country is Bolivia. It was a country in South America, at least. I believe it's Bolivia. And it said that they had been digging in the ruins. And they had, I believe this was German people who were down in Bolivia. Why the Germans would be down there, why they'd be interested in things that happened down there, I don't know. But they found ruins that dated way back there, 4,500 years ago, 4,300 maybe it was, 4,345, somewhere in that area. And my first thought was, I don't believe that. That's nothing happened that far back. But the more I thought about, well, how far back is that? What they were alleging was that there were people living down there 4,300 years ago. Of course, this was the, I guess, some carbon dating. Don't know how accurate that is, you know. Pretty accurate, however. But you get far enough, it's like shooting at a rabbit. If you're 10 foot from it, you get very close to it. But if it's 10 miles from it, well, you can be a long ways off and still be a pretty accurate shot. Tower of Babel. 2,200 years before Christ. I don't know where it was 2,200 years before Christ or not, but that's what they got printed at the bottom of the book, in the Book of Mormon. And I think it's approximately all right. Well, 2,200 years before Christ and 2,000 years since Christ, that's 4,200 years. What, 4,200 to 4,300? That's pretty close to accurate. And the reason I wanted to bring it and read it was to show that it was really another evidence that this was true. I'm reading an ether. I'm not going to give up on ether. And for these Germans to be down there and digging up their ruins and trying to find out when people were here, I don't know how many thousands and dollars it cost them to dig it up, hundreds of thousands. And they could bought one of these for $6.98. I don't know how much bookworm it cost. If they just read it, they got the same thing. On page 720, where I want to read, and it came to pass that the brother Jared, the number of the vessels that had been prepared was eight, went forth upon the mount, which they called a Mount Shelem, because of exceeding height, and did molten out of the rock 16 small stones. What do you get when you melt rock? Glass. 16 small stones, 16 small glass. They call them stones, but if it's molten, it is glass-like. These people getting ready to come across the great deep, they were a little bit skittish about what was happening. Maybe they didn't trust God quite as much as they could. I don't know. Would I have trusted any better? Probably not as much. I don't know how my trust had been. But they were kind of wondering about breathing air. They said, well, knock a hole in the top and one in the bottom and plug it up. And when you need some air, take it out. If the water comes in, plug it back up. Wait till another, a little later and get you some air. And they wanted to see what was going on in there. They didn't want to be in the dark for all that time. So they made those pieces of glass and give it to the Lord that he might give them light. And behold, the Lord, I'm skipping first. And they were white and clear, even as transparent glass. And he did carry them to the hand on the top of the mount, and cried again to the Lord, saying, O Lord, thou hast said that we must be encompassed about by the floods. Now behold, O Lord, do not be angry with thy servant, because of his weakness before thee. For we know that thou art holy and dwellest in the heavens, and that we are unworthy before thee. Because of the fall of our natures, because of the fall, what fall is this? Fall of Adam? Certainly. Because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee from thee we may receive according to our desires. Behold, O Lord, thou hast smitten us because of our iniquity, and hast driven us forth. And for this many years we have been in the wilderness. Nevertheless, thou hast been merciful unto us. O Lord, look upon me in pity, and turn away thine anger from thy people. Suffer not that they shall go forth across the raging deep in darkness, but behold these things which I have molten out of the rock. And I know, O Lord, that thou hast all power and can do whatsoever thou wilt for the benefit of man. Therefore, touch these stones, O Lord, with thy finger, and prepare them that they may shine forth in darkness, and they shall shine forth unto us in the vessels which we have prepared, that we may have light while we shall cross the sea. I guess I'd like to maybe hope that I would have been smart enough, wise enough, humble enough to have asked God for help. But I don't know whether I would or not. I really don't know. Sixty-eighth verse. And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said these words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger, and the veil was taken from off the eyes of the brother of Jared, and he saw the finger of the Lord, and it was the finger of a man, and it was as the finger of a man, likened to flesh and blood. And the brother of Jared fell down before the Lord, for he was struck with fear. And the Lord saw that the brother of Jared had fallen to the earth. And the Lord said unto him, rise, why hast thou fallen? Now here's this man praying to God, or to the Lord, that'd be the word that he's using here, to touch those stones with his finger and make them shine. I don't think that's the word they use here, but that's my term. And I guess the Lord really didn't know for sure how good their faith was. But he was obedient. He did touch them. And when they fell to the earth, they asked, why? Because we saw the finger. I often have listened to people that have asked for administration. The elder would ask God to touch this person and heal him. And sometimes he does. But I haven't heard anyone that actually saw the finger touch him. Why haven't I seen that? I don't have the faith. Well, that's all I can read out of this, is I don't have the faith to see. A few years ago, actually several years ago, I went to church in St. Louis. We were living in Belleville, Illinois. They had a little church there about half as big as this. About the same number of people at church that we have this morning most of the time. Sometimes there's a few more. Pretty few. Gus Swigler, who's long since dead now. Thelma, I guess, his wife. I believe she's still alive. I haven't heard that she passed. But he was going in for surgery. And he asked me to administer to him before he went into surgery. Have any of you ever played with an old telephone where you ring it? You know, along the wall, they got a crank you turn, and you can hold on to the wire, and you can feel the electricity going through your arm. Now, if you haven't, I don't think I can explain it to you. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. I entirely started my words, my prayer to God, when I felt that very same or very similar in my hand, in my arm, in my hand. The shock, the electric shock that I felt with the old telephone. Have you ever played an old telephone like that? You know what I'm talking about? Feeling electricity flow through your body that makes you kind of tremble. You're an old man, almost as old as I am, a little bit more. I felt that. I didn't tell him that I felt it. I didn't tell anybody else that I felt it. Matter of fact, I just kept it to myself. He went to had a surgery, and in a few weeks he's back at church. And the first sacrament Sunday after he came back to church, he got up and bore his testimony, and he said he never had any pain whatsoever from the surgery. None whatsoever. And he went ahead to tell about the electricity that he felt through my hands. Now, I tell you that I'm something great. Oh no, not at all. I didn't generate the electricity, if you want to call it electricity. God did. No merit to me, but to God. Brother Gus, give all the credit to God. He didn't give me any credit. Rightfully shouldn't give me any credit. But I guess human nature, we might not get the feeling that we're pretty something on the stick when something like that happens when we're involved. But we really aren't. It's God. And here we are. That's these stones. They asked him to do that, and he did what they asked. It's in the first verse. And he said unto the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I feared lest he should smite me, for I know not that the Lord hath flesh and blood. For I knew not that the Lord hath flesh and blood. Sorry. And the Lord said unto him, because of thy faith that I have seen, thou hast seen that I will take upon me the flesh and blood. And never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, you could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth. For thou art a God of truth, and canst not lie. And when he had said these words, behold, the Lord showed himself unto him, and said, because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. That's like a resurrection. We are redeemed from the fall because of our resurrection. As my words, not something in here at all. Therefore ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore I show myself unto you. Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. Well, a few verses up here we're reading that is praying. Well, we think it's praying to God. It says it's the Lord. And then we're seeing the finger of the Lord. Is this the finger of God or is this the finger of Christ? And then down here it says, behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. I have oftentimes tried to distinguish the difference between the Father and the Son. And I sometimes use the example that, well, Betty and I, we are one. We're one family. But Betty is one person. I'm another person. And we have the same hopes and aspirations and such. And it passes off as being the difference between God and Christ. But I'm not sure that is legitimate. I will readily recognize that I don't thoroughly understand the difference between God and Christ. Always we have people in the church that, or have had at least, Brother Archie Bell was one that was strong for the one God theory, if you want to call it a theory, as opposed to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the three Trinity, which side am I on? I think I'm on both sides. I really don't know. We read this morning, Curtis read. We discussed whether or not Joseph saw a vision or not, or if he saw two visions or not. I think one of his serious mistakes was that he went out and claimed to the world that he saw a vision, and the world was not prepared to accept it. I don't go out to the world and tell you that I felt the Spirit of God in my hand with Brother Swegler, because the world would not be prepared to accept it. I would probably alienate myself from my neighbors if I insisted on that which I experienced and knew. If asked, would I deny it? Oh no, oh no, I wouldn't dare deny it. But there's a scripture somewhere, and I hadn't planned to get into that at all. So I don't suppose I even get close to quoting it. But it says, when you're with your enemy, be careful what you say, that they may turn and rend you. And the things we were reading this morning, we could easily argue. Might even get temper up a little bit, because we can't all agree exactly whether the dot was straight over the I or not in the things that we were reading. But I know that everyone here this morning recognizes that Joseph Smith did have an experience. Whatever name we want to put on it, doesn't matter. And that what resulted from those experiences, well, one thing is the book that we have. And I guess the second thing, I don't know which would be the most important, would be the establishment. No, not the establishment, but the restoration of the church by the will of God. Verse 76. And when he had said these words, behold, the Lord showed himself unto him and said, because thou knowest these things, you are redeemed from the fall. Therefore you are brought back into my presence. Therefore I show myself unto you. Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. And in me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally, even they which shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters. And never have I showed myself unto man whom I have created, for neither have men believed in me, so thou hast. Excuse me, as thou hast. Seest thou that you are created after mine own image? Two arms, two legs, one nose. My image. Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine image. Didn't say he had blue eyes or brown eyes, but image. Behold, this body which you now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. See, this is 2,200 years before Christ's time, give or take a few years, of course. This is before Christ appeared to the people here on this continent. Now Moroni, who is translating or copying from the original Book of Ether, puts in his 2 cents worth ever occasionally. It irritates Betty when I say 2 cents worth, but I can't think of a better term. It puts in his thoughts. And now, as I, Moroni, said, I could not make a full account of these things which are written. Therefore, it suffices me to say that Jesus showed himself unto this man in the Spirit, even after the manner and in the likeness of the same body, even as he showed himself unto the Nephites. Now Moroni, he was something like 420 years after Christ. So he's talking about after the fact that Christ had come and showed it into the same body, who he showed unto the Nephites. And he ministered unto them, even as he ministered unto the Nephites. And all this, that this man knew that he was God, because of the many great works which the Lord had showed unto him. And because of the knowledge of this man, he could not be kept from withholding within the veil. Veil? What's a veil? That's something that's down over your face where you can't see out, isn't it? At least you can't see in too good. I think some veils maybe kind of are porous, like a screen or something, and the people wearing a veil can kind of see through, but you can't see too much looking the other direction. And we all have that veil. Let me say, I have that veil. If you're going to claim you don't have it, that's all right. But I have it. And he saw the finger of Jesus, which, when he saw, he fell with fear, for he knew that it was the finger of the Lord. And he hath faith no longer, for he knew. You can't know something and have faith. Things that we have faith for, when and ever we know it, then it's not faith any longer, just because we know. It's kind of like things we hope for. When we get it, we don't hope for it anymore, we got it. And he had faith no longer, for he knew nothing doubting. Wherefore, having this perfect knowledge of God, it said Jesus Christ, did it? It said God. He could not be kept from within the veil. Therefore he saw Jesus and did minister unto him. So is God and Jesus the same? We'll know sometime. In the meantime, what do? We try to prepare ourselves for knowing. This is our day. This is the day of our probation. A time to prepare to meet God. Also this morning, came up something about Bible, and it was alleged that in the Bible the word Bible is not used. I don't know what it is or isn't. I suppose it probably isn't, because I haven't ever seen it, though I haven't searched for it that diligently. Not too long ago, seemed like in the last year, I heard a definition of the word Bible. What B-I-B-L-E stood for? Basic instructions before leaving this earth. Before leaving earth. I don't know whether that's realistic or not, but it is. Basic instructions for us while we're here. I don't know where the word Bible comes from. But it exists. It exists, and it did exist a long time ago. Else, the Book of Mormon would not talk about the Bible. And there is the word Bible is in the Book of Mormon. Something to the fact that we already have a Bible. Why do we need another one? Verse 86. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto the brother Jared, Behold, thou shalt not suffer these things which ye have seen and heard to go forth into the world until the time cometh that I shall glorify my name in the flesh. The 86 is a start of a new paragraph. Of course, the paragraph is signed by the printer, but it does. A rightfully made paragraph, because it goes back to not to Moroni's time, but back to the brother Jared's time. But they're not to let it go to the world until after Christ comes. And when does Christ come? First time? Oh, about 2,000 years ago. When did he come again? We don't know. We don't think too long. But therefore you shall treasure up the things which you have seen and heard and show it to no man. And behold, when they shall come unto me, ye shall write them. Let me try that another time. And behold, when ye shall come unto me. In other words, is you're getting ready to die, I guess. Ye shall write them and seal them up, that no man can interpret them, for ye shall write them in a language that they cannot be read. And behold, these two stones. Yes, we read about the Urim and Thummim this morning. The Urim and Thummim are in the Bible early on, not later. Why not later? Well, I don't really know, but my opinion is that there are only one Urim and Thummim, and they can't be here and over there both. So, in the early part of the time, before Tower of Babel, the Urim and Thummim is referenced in the Bible. But after they came here, they evidently came with them, or God brought them here, caused them to bring them here. I don't think we'll find any words to say that they were being brought over here, but we do have words that they are here. However, they're called interpreters. They're not called the Urim and Thummim. Behold, these two stones will I give unto thee, and ye shall seal them up also with the things which ye shall write. For behold, the language which ye shall write, I have confounded. No man can read it. God has confounded it. Can you read more than one language? Well, I can read a few words of one or two other languages, but no, not to any great extent. Can other people read more than one language or speak more than one language? Oh, yes. quite fluently. Of course, if we had been born in out in West Texas, out the El Paso area, or New Mexico, or any place down along the border, we probably would learn Spanish about as fast as we learned English. But we're far enough from the borders that we don't know about life there. Betty and I were in San Antonio during the war, been in 1943, I suppose. No, 44. We weren't married until 44. We'd been 44. And we lived in a garage apartment on the west side. No air conditioning. Mattress was wet from morning time because of perspiration during the night. But the landlord was a good man. He let us live there. And that's a place to live. But as compared to today's where we live now, it was awful poor living. But he took us out one afternoon in his car, kind of sightseeing through the town. And I asked him, I said, "Can you speak Spanish?" "Oh, yes." I said, "How did you learn to speak Spanish?" He said, "Well, I wrestled with the little kids when I was their age," and said, "You just learn it like you do English." That seems a little weird, to us. It's up here that's never heard anything else except English. But this is not just another language. This is a language that God has confounded, and no one can speak it. And if we're going to read what is written, we're going to have the interpreters. I'm going to try to resist calling them Urim and Thummim, because it's referred to as interpreters. But my opinion, it is exactly the same thing as Urim and Thummim. "For behold, the language which you shall write I have confounded. Wherefore I will cause in mine own due time that these stones shall magnify to the eyes of men these things which you shall write." And when the Lord had said these words, the Lord showed unto the brother Jared all inhabitants of the earth which had been, and also that should be. That includes me, Alan, Curtis. And all the rest. Dale and Sean. Don't want to leave Zerna out. All that would be. And the Lord withheld him not from his sight, even unto the ends of the earth. For the Lord had said unto him in time before, that if he would believe in him, that he would show unto him all things, it should be shown unto him. Therefore the Lord could not withhold anything from him, for he knew that the Lord could show him all things. And the Lord said to him, "Write these things and seal them up, and I will show them to mine, and I will show them in mine own due time unto the children of men." So he showed them to Joseph Smith, and he copied them. No, I don't think we have yet that which is left out here. He did show a lot of things to Joseph Smith, and he did translate a lot of things. But I think that which back in Ether that was held there, I think they're still to come forth. Could be wrong. I've been wrong before. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded him that he should seal up the two stones which had been received, and show them not until the Lord should show them unto the children of men. And the Lord commanded his brother Jared to go down out of the mouth from the presence of the Lord, and write the things which he had seen, and they were forbidden to come unto the children of men, until after that he should be lifted up upon the cross. See, we're getting back into Moroni's. Deuceness birth, as I like to call it. I don't know why I like a 2 cents worth term. 2 cents don't buy anything, hardly. Back to the 93rd verse. I got lost. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded him that he should seal him up, seal up the two stones which he had received, and show them not, until the Lord should show them unto the children of men. And the Lord commanded the brother Jared to go down out of the mount from the presence of the Lord, and write the things which he had seen, and they were forbidden to come unto the children of men, till after that he should be lifted up upon the cross. And for this cause did King Messiah keep them, that they should not come into the world until after Christ should show himself unto the people. And after Christ had truly showed himself unto the people, he commanded that they should be made manifest. And now, after that they had all dwindled in unbelief, and there is none save it be the Lamanites, that they have rejected the gospel of Christ, therefore I am commanded that I should hide them up again in the earth. Behold, I have written upon the plates the very things which the brother of Jared saw, and never was greater thing made manifest than that which was made manifest unto the brother of Jared. Wherefore the Lord hath made, therefore the Lord hath commanded me to write them, and I have written them. And he commanded me that I should seal him up. And he also had commanded that I should seal up the interpretation thereof. Therefore I seal up the interpreters, and according to the commandments of the Lord. For the Lord saith unto me, ye shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean like unto the Lord. Have we come clean like unto the Lord? I'm afraid not. But that is what is expected of us. Will this be revealed before the Lord returns? I don't know. But is our salvation contingent on us reading those things? Oh no. Our salvation is on our lives that we live today, not our understanding of what was written hundreds and hundreds and thousand years ago, but that which we have before us, our Bible and our Book of Mormon, and if we will but be obedient, then all will be well in Zion. Thank you.